Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We come live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, checking on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Altvader. Fred, hi, how are you today?
Carlos, I am great. We've got a lot of water here in Toledo. We've been submerged. We pretty much lost a whole weekend playing golf last weekend in this area just due to heavy rains. So a lot of holes are flooded. So hopefully it'll dry out, but it is warming up a little bit, so it's pretty nice. Hey, getting back to golf, Jeff Maggard won his second major of the year on the Champions Tour at the U.S. Senior Open last weekend. Bubba Watson got a win at the Travelers, and Na Young Choi beat a strong field at the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship on the LPGA Tour. And we have our good friend Wally Greaves to fill us in on his travels around the world pursuing a little white ball. A lot of golf to cover tonight, Carlos, so let's go.
Hopefully he's pursuing some other things other than the little white ball. But anyway, let's start right away with the weekend backspin. And, hey, there was a major in the Champions Tour. And Jeff Maggard, he fired a 5-under 65 on Sunday's final round to go on and win by two shots at the U.S. Senior Open Championship. He finished the week at 10-under and captured the first major of the season as well. That's the region's tradition. So he's now a three-time winner on the Champions Tour, twice a major champion. He also has three career victories on the PGA Tour. He earned $675,000 for this victory. Last year's winner, Colin Montgomery Monty, he finished second place, alone in second at the El Paso Country Club. He was trying to become the sixth player to win this event multiple times and the first ever to repeat as a champion. Senior PGA winner Bernhard Langer, he who shared a third-round lead with Maggard, only shot a 2-under and ended the week tied for third with Grant Waite at -7. On the PGA Tour, like you mentioned, Bubba Watson, he proved he loves the pressure of playing in a playoff when he rolled in a birdie putt on the second play of hole Sunday to defeat Paul Casey and win the Travelers Championship for a second time. It was his fifth win in six playoffs that he has played in, and he earned his eighth PGA Tour win and a lovely check of just $1.152 million. He also jumped back to number three in the world's. Third-round leader Brian Harman birdied the final two holes and ended alone in third. In second place, in third place, also with Graham Dallet finishing fourth. Carl Pederson, he grabbed fifth. Zach Jensen ended up in sixth place. Harman, Dallet, Pederson, and Luke Donald all earned the four available spots in the Open Championship. Donald, who tied for seven with Bowen Pelt and Mark Wilson, earned that fourth spot because he's higher in the world rankings than the other two. In the LPGA, hey, yes! NYC, Na Young Choi, one of my favorite players. He holed out from the fairway for eagle on the 16th hole on Sunday en route to that 2-under and went on to win the NW Arkansas Championship by two shots. She finished the week at 15-under, and this was her ninth win on the LPGA Tour, her second this season. She also won the Coates Golf Championship earlier this season. She had only one top 10 finish between victories, but earned $300,000 for this victory, jumped to number 13 in the world. Miki Miyasato took sole position in second place. Last year's champion Stacey Lewis held the outright lead prior to Choi's eagle, but her 3-under wasn't quite enough. She finished tied for third with Asahara Munoz and Anna Nordqvist. She's still looking for her first win of the season. She won three times last year. World number two, Lydia Ko, she cruised to an 8-under and ended one shot further back in a tie for sixth with Paula Creamer and Minji Lee. And finally, on the European Tour, Pablo Larrazabal, he fired a 6-under 66 and went from five strokes back at the start of the final round to win.
What was that name again? How do you pronounce that name again?
Pablo Larrazabal.
See, you Spanish guys, you know, you can do that. I'd trip over my trunk and kill myself trying to say that. Good job.
Thank you, thank you. He won from coming from five strokes back at the start of the final round and won the BMW International Open for his fourth European title. Hey, Henrik Stenson, he nearly stole the title himself because he shot a 65, but couldn't make it. He finished at 16 under. How about the weekend results, Fred?
Yeah, you called it. Jeff Maggart shot a nearly perfect -500 par 65 on Sunday to beat defending champion and Kieran's good buddy, Colin Montgomery, by a single shot. As you said, this is his third Champions Tour victory, a little over a year, and his second major this year. Between Bernard Langer, Colin Montgomery, and Jeff Maggart, they won eight major championships in the Old Guys League, the last eight in a row, those three guys. On the PGA Tour, it got a little wet at the Travelers. Soft fairways and greens made a child's play for Bubba, but he had to survive a two-hole playoff with Paul Casey. You know, Casey with two runners up, one third, and six top ten finishes in his 15 starts this season, he's been playing very well. He's earned $2.6 million. He's up to number 16 in the FedEx Cup and has moved back inside the top 25 in the world. For Bubba, it's his second win of the year. He's now number three in both the FedEx Cup and the official world golf rankings and has won nearly $4 million this year. LPGA Tour in Arkansas, as you mentioned, Na Young Choi, final round 69, left her two shots ahead for the win. The story of the week for me here, Carlos, is the names you read off there, tied for third, Azahara Munoz, Anna Nordqvist, Stacey Lewis, tied for sixth, Lydia Ko, Minji Lee, Paula Kramer, Christy Kerr also finished in the top ten. So great leaderboard there in Arkansas for Uncle Sam's tournament. And they have, the LPGA now has a week off to prepare for the U.S. Women's Open next week in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and that precedes the Open Championship coming up over at St. Andrews. So a lot of big stuff coming over the next couple weeks. European Tour, as you mentioned, Pablo Larrazabal got his, I know,
hey,
I did as well
did
as you
well.
Do.
I know.
Fourth career European Tour win in Germany at the BMW International. The Euro Tour moves over to France this week before heading to Royal Aberdeen for the Scottish Open ahead of the Open Championship. So I believe that's all I have for the weekend golf news, Carlos.
And that wraps up our weekend backspin. And now we're going to start with the Par 5 news presented to you by United Golf Network. And, Fred, I know last week, you know, you grilled Fox Sports News. I mean, their golf coverage was awful. I mean, I think they had enough. So I think we can give them a shot this week for some kudos. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, before I get into that, Carlos, I just want to mention that we want to pay respect to a true golf gentleman. Peter Usahaus announced this week that he has Alzheimer's disease. It was announced at a Jim Nance National Alzheimer's Center event back in May, and it's on a video that's out there that can be viewed for public consumption now. Usterhaus had a brilliant professional career with 18 wins worldwide. He never won on the PGA Tour, although he moved to the U.S. and played the American Tour for 11 years, from 1975 to 1976. He was never able to capture a major championship finish runner-up in the Open Championship twice, once in 1974 and again in 1982. He posted top 10 finishes in both the U.S. Open and the Masters during his golfing career. He's best known, however, for his work in the broadcast booth for both the BBC and CBS, and has always performed with grace and that cool British charm. We at Back Nine Report want to wish him and his wife, Ruthie, all the best in this difficult time, and I hope things go well for him. So, Carlos, on to talking about Fox. Yeah, we bashed them up pretty good last week for their coverage of the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, so we do have to give them kudos for the most improved status for this week's U.S. Senior Open from Del Paso Country Club in Sacramento. Counting the nearly 40 hours of coverage last week at Chambers Bay, plus 20 hours of airtime for the U.S. Senior Open this week at Del Paso, the Fox Golf broadcast team has gotten 60 hours of reps to improve their craft. Yes, and hopefully their glutes did open. After making a complete mess of their first two tests at the U.S. Open last week, they did make a rebound, and they, like I say, they're on the right track. Joe Buck seemed to much more at ease, and his transitions and analysis was much smoother. Greg Norman, Brad Fax, and Steve Flesh and the rest of the team appeared better prepared and more comfortable on camera. The technical and production teams were more timely with their overall production. Joe Buck and Greg Norman took a ton of criticism from social media last week, and they are much, much better this week. Fox coordinating producer Mark Loomis said, "Joe has gotten in really quickly, and he and Greg have developed a great relationship. I am really pleased with their chemistry." Loomis also said there were parts of the show that were good and other parts that still need improvement. "As I've said all along, we're going to be better in 2016 than 2015, and we'll be better again in 2017. Although they're not up to the standards of CBS and NBC yet, hopefully Fox will continue to improve at the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club next week, Carlos." And you're going to tell us a little bit about the news we announced last week for the Greenbriars. Got some big doings going on.
Oh, yes, we do. And, you know, Greenbrier owner Jim Justice, he had accomplished one of his biggest goals. He had convinced four of the golf's biggest legends, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, and Lee Trevino, to collaborate together for the first time, designing a new golf course mountaintop at the Greenbrier Resort. It's an idea Justice is pushing to make reality by the end of summer 2016 and could happen within the next month. A groundbreaking for the new course, which would overlook the historic Oakhurst Links, the oldest golf course in America. While in a car with Nicklaus, Player, and Trevino, driving to look at the property on a mountain in White Sulphur Springs, Justice revealed the other aspect of his master plan. Nicklaus asked him, "Hey, what kind of golf do you want to build?" Justice responded that he wanted to build a mountain course different from the four valley courses already on the Greenbriars property, with different elevations that every level of golfer could enjoy from the upper tees, but that was at least 7,700 yards long from the tips to accommodate the greatest players in the game. Then Justice revealed his true motivation. He told a group of legends, "I want to get the U.S. Open here. The U.S. Open in the mountains of West Virginia?" Many will immediately respond with, "No way." But, you know, Justice has heard this before. When he first purchased the Greenbrier in 2009, he told PGA Tour rules official and Beckley native Slugger White that he wanted to bring a professional golf event to the Greenbrier. White asked Justice if he wanted to shoot for an LPGA Tour event, a Champions Tour, or maybe a PGA Tour Fall Series event. Justice responded, "No, I want a FedEx Cup event." Justice said White told him that it couldn't be done. Justice's old friend explained that there was a 20-year waiting list. In 2010, the PGA Tour FedEx Cup Greenbrier Classic was held for the first time on the Greenbrier's old White TPC course, and the sixth edition begins this week. They got it done, and he's confident that he can get this done as well. He said bringing the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, and other prominent events to the Greenbrier would be desirable, but he has only one tournament in his mind, and that is the U.S. Open. He said that he has both history and the game's biggest legend on his side to make a case to the USGA. That's quite a Mount Rushmore of PGA legends for a commission for a project one Justice could use to attract an event like the U.S. Open. And while he admitted the U.S. Opens are usually held close to a metropolitan city, he used the most recent U.S. Open that just wrapped at Chambers Bay 2 weeks ago as an example that it doesn't have to be played in the middle of a big city. Fred, U.S. Open sites are already set for 2016 through 21, and the earliest date available would be 2022. I wouldn't bet against him. You know, like I said, that's a quite amount of pressure. Appreciate legends backing that up.
I'll tell you what, Carlos, I would never bet against Jim Justice. After seeing what he has done to the Greenbrier, how he is turning that thing around, the money he's putting in there, and what they're getting accomplished there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Urge anyone, if they've never been there, that they need to get there. They will spend a little bit more money than they're accustomed to spending, but the service and the class and the history. It's all worth it. It's a great place. I wish him all the luck in the world. Hey, Carlos, there's a couple people that are struggling right now. Sayre Pack and Jason Day both withdrew from tournaments. Sayre Pack has withdrawn after the first rounds of her last two LPGA starts, and she has announced that she will not play next week in the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club. It will be the first time in 17 years that she will not be in the U.S. Women's Open field. She cited illness after shooting 84 in the first round of her last start at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship 2 weeks ago. Pack was a workie on the LPGA Tour when she won the U.S. Women's Open in 1998 and has four other major wins in her 19-year professional career. She has a total of 25 LPGA Tour wins and 14 LPGA of Korea titles. Pack is responsible for the influx of the talented South Korean women that have come to dominate on the LPGA Tour over the past several years. In 2008, 10 years after becoming the first and only South Korean woman on the LPGA Tour, there were 45 Korean women competing on tour. Pack is citing fatigue. She has missed the cut or withdrawn in four of her last five starts. Her agent said she has decided to take some time off to get recharged for the remaining season. Suffering a bit of burnout after a win at the 2005 Women's PGA Championship, she also took some time away from golf to recharge. Prior to her slide this season, she had been playing at a very high level. Hopefully, some time away gets her back on track. We know Sayre Pack very well here in Toledo, Carlos. She has won the Marathon Classic five times. In another high-profile withdrawal, Jason Day withdrew from the Travelers Championship last week after suffering from vertigo at Chambers Bay in the U.S. Open. Everyone saw Day struggle all weekend with dizziness and even fell walking down the slope from ninth tee to the green on Friday in the second round. Even though he fought vertigo symptoms all weekend, he still was in contention and finished T7. Day had a bout with these same problems last year and was forced to rest at home away from the tour for several weeks until they passed. Fellow Aussie Stephen Laney has also suffered these same symptoms over his career. In an interview with the Herald Sun, he said, "It's amazing that he could even keep playing. The best way for me to describe it is like playing golf when you're drunk. You can't even get yourself in a position where you're balanced and focused enough to hit a golf shot." Laney learned that his attacks were triggered by allergies, and he also offered some advice for Day. Stay away from red meat. The West Australian, now based in Adelaide, had CAT scans, MRIs, blood tests, and medication trials on an 18-month effort to beat the condition. In the end, his own research prompted Laney to cut dairy and red meat from his diet after discovering that these food groups were major allergy triggers. So his condition resolved within 6 weeks of his change, and he's not suffered in the 5 years since. Day is one of the PGA's youngest and brightest stars. Hopefully he can find a solution to his vertigo problems and get back to winning golf tournaments, Carlos.
Hopefully he does, because it's a shame that we can see such a great talent like him being more on a weekly basis. And, you know, on a funny side to it, you know, if I would suffer from that and they told me no red meat, you know, I would be falling down every day because there's no way I'm going to give it up.
I'll be falling.
Hey, Fred, what about if I mention the international sports supernova names of Cristiano Ronaldo from the Real Madrid, Portugal? Lionel
from
Messi.
What's Real Madrid? What's that? What do they do?
You know, that's a little thing that in the world of sports, you know, outside of the States, is so very worldwide known. But anyway, it's soccer. But Lionel Messi, you know, from Barcelona.
Didn't even know they still played that game.
Novak Djokovic from the ATP and Lewis Hamilton from Formula One. Would you place Lydia Ko from the LPGA alongside them? Well, you know,
that's
ESPN
surprising.
Thinks so.
That's surprising.
And made Ko, the 18-year-old world number two, a finalist in the Best International Athlete category on the annual ESPYs Awards ceremony. The awards are run by ESPN and mainly focus on American sports and athletes, but they have a separate category to acknowledge the best players from outside the country. They are also unique in that all the winners are voted for by the public. Ronaldo won it last year, while sprinter Usain Bolt has won twice. In a New Zealand Herald article, they compared the achievements of all five finalists in the past 12 months, and there's obviously no comparison to the money one. But when you look at it achievement-wise, you can make a case either way. Cole became the youngest ever world number one in February, but recently relinquished the crown to Imbe Park. When she went to number one, her coach David Ledbetter said he even didn't expect her to get there so soon. It's only in recent weeks that she has struggled to maintain such a hot pace, but Cole also remains without a major title after disappointing performances in the first two this year. The interesting thing I found about this article is that one that you have to focus on, and is that they compared what each of those stars achieved when they were 18 years old, and Lydia really outshines them by a long mile. Remember, Ronaldo and Hamilton are 30 right now, while Lionel Messi and Noel are 28. She's only 18 years old. Female golfers have a history in the award, with Mexican Lorena Ochoa winning in 2008. So it's not out of the question that Cole has his chance to winning. She's also a finalist in the best female golfer category with American Stacey Lewis and South Korean Imbe Park. That one is a given. She's going to win it. But like I mentioned before, this is a public voting, and while golf is absolutely crushed in terms of fans by soccer and Formula One worldwide, and even though it's closer to tennis, remember that this is primarily an American fans voting. So if you want to help Lydia win it, you can go vote for her by visiting ESPN.go.com/ESPYs. Select there the best international athlete category. Vote for her. The awards will take place in July 15. So, hey, I'm going to go right now while you do the other news and go vote for her.
Well, don't get messed up and vote for Caitlin, okay?
No.
PGA of America president Derek Sprague is also the general manager of Malone Golf Club in upstate New York. And his family survived the drama of the two escaped prisoners that have been playing out on the news programs across the country. His family found themselves in the middle of the huge manhunt that yielded the capture of both men very near the Sprague home and golf course. According to Golf Week, Sprague left Malone last Wednesday to attend the 48th PGA Professional National Championship in suburban Philadelphia. And while he was in the midst of one of his flights, his daughter, Alexandra, called to tell him there were six state troopers at their front door wanting to search and secure the premises. "So that's a little unsettling," Sprague said, "to get that kind of phone call. They made sure everything was locked up and checked all the cars in case there was a carjacking." As Sprague and his wife, Jennifer, were on their way from the airport to Philadelphia Cricket Club, site of this week's PGA Professional National Championship, another telephone call from their daughter provided updates on gunshots being heard and about 12 state police cars racing past the house. One of the two prisoners was shot and killed last week about 4 miles south of the golf course. The second escapee was finally taken into custody on Sunday about 4 miles to the north and less than 2 miles from the Canadian border. "One night they had police in just about everybody's driveway, and while they're not going to tell you the person's there, but it's obvious they have a suspicion they might be moving in that area. But everything worked out, and we're thankful for that," Sprague said. Although the excitement at the golf club might not be over, there seems to be some question as to exactly how police came up upon the second prisoner on Sunday, which might help determine how to allocate the $75,000 reward for information leading to the apprehension of the prisoners. Apparently, two employees of the golf course came upon the escapee walking along a road and alerted authorities. See, there you go. Golf gets involved in everything, great Carlos. There's always golf involved.
There's always that, as it should be. Hey, I have some news about Jordan Spieth's path to Under Armour. You know, it began as exactly like you would expect it, you know, when a former Redskins defensive lineman started covertly following him during a practice round at Congressional Country Club. Spieth was then a freshman All-American at Texas, playing Tiger Woods' 2012 Washington event as an amateur. And Ryan Kuehl, a star athlete at Whitman, turned University of Virginia lineman, turned NFL veteran, turned Under Armour executive, already thought he might be a fit for the Baltimore Apparel Company, which was looking to make a major play in golf. Wow, major play they did. You know, Congressional was Kuehl's home course. He and his parents belonged to the club, whose caddies helped teach him in the game. He had plans to meet Spieth and his family at the 10th tee that summer, but he had learned from longtime NFL scout Joe Collins that it's better to watch his prospect when he doesn't know you're there. So he followed Spieth around the front nine, watching his game, studying how he interacted with fans and other golfers, sizing up his body language, wondering if this was the kid for Under Armour. A few months later, Spieth turned pro, and Q, who had continued courting him, told Under Armour founder Kevin Plank it was time to pull the plug. He told him, after a hard plea that ended saying, "Hey, listen, he's a special kid. I don't know how good he's going to be, but if I'm going to stake my reputation on anybody, I'll stake it on Jordan Spieth." Blank said then, "Okay, all right, let's do it. Let's do this thing." Thankfully, they made the right bet. You could say the same thing about Plank's decision to gamble on Kuehl, whose 12 wild years there in the NFL had many ups and downs, as Chambers Bay, too. But, you know, they work it out, and it was a great find for them. And Under Armour's company of stable, right now that includes the reigning Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady, the National League MVP Clayton Kershaw, and the MVP Stephen Carey, now adding Jordan Spieth, who has won the first two majors of the year, and we will talk a little bit more about that on the practice range. It's a great find, great for Ryan Kuehl, but the night that Spieth won the Masters, you know, Kevin Plank congratulated Kuehl for hitting right on his bet. I bet that Plank doesn't need the money of the Powerball numbers, but if I would have been him, I would have asked Kuehl for the numbers of the next roll of the Powerball. All right.
Yeah, that's amazing, wasn't it? Hey, Carlos, that wraps up the Par 5 news presented by United Golf Network, who wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories, are available with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, they also offer every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on products through their Directors Program. United Golf Network provides instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. Another free perk is membership to My Golf in U.S., which offers discounted rounds in golf in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. Plus, for sale by owner allows members to sell new or used golf equipment online. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity. Carlos, back to you.
Remember that United Golf Network was created by entrepreneurs to give golfers the opportunity to play golf, make money, and enjoy life. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have our VIG, our very important guest of the week, Wally Greaves. So don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the VIG, the very important guest of the week. His name is Wally Greaves. He was with us last July. I wasn't in the show. It was with Kieran and Fred. So this time I'm going to be listening very well to our Globetrotter travel insider. He discovers the travel options, and he will be talking to us about his recent travels to South Africa and the 3 weeks he recently spent in China. So I want to welcome Wally. Wally, thank you for coming on to the show. How are you today? Hello, Wally.
I'm good, Carlos. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hey Wally. What's going on? Hey, you're in between flights. You can take time to talk to us, huh?
I can. I appreciate you guys asking, and I look forward to talking to you.
Hey, I think, you know, you've got the best job in the world next to Matt Janelle at the Golf Channel. In the last year, you visited, I think, China twice. I believe it's Curacao and the Caicos Islands, Dominican Republic, South Africa, and then, like I say, back to China. I don't know how you stand the strain, man. Do you know even know where you're at?
Well, you use a watch, ask people, and just ask for directions, and just wait for the next thing to happen. and it's...
Hey, on your most recent trip, you spent, well, not the most recent, but you, earlier this year, you spent 10 days in South Africa, home of Gary Player, Ernie Els, Charles Swartzel, Retief Goosen, Louis Oosthuizen, and Brandon Grace. What was that like for us mere mortals who don't get to go do stuff like that?
Well, this mortal really enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity. It was a lot of fun. And I was with you, Fred, down at Demo Day, and that's where I met the guys from Pro Golf Safaris and that put together this trip. And it was fantastic. There's so much good golf down there. I mean, it's a long flight. In talking to them down there, they really, they have a harder time. I mean, they get a lot of other nationalities besides U.S. and they're really looking to have more U.S. people travel there. And there are so many golf options. The hole that everybody hears about is in the Victoria Falls area. That helicopter 19th hole. But I didn't play that course, but. Got a great opportunity to play some nice courses from Cape Town up to Port Elizabeth. There's just so many golf options. There's the links at Fancourt, which is the number 34th on the top 100 list, was absolutely stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. They also had another course that was great. It was Pinnacle Point is their sort of they call it their Pebble Beach. It's imagine a Pebble Beach that's like elevated, a couple hundred yards in the air, right on the cliffs. It's absolutely beautiful. I played another course called Arabella that was beautiful. Really a great opportunity. The area really lends itself well to group golf trips. I mean, South Africa was just enchanting, and it has so much to offer. I mean, there's so much good vegetation. I mean, that's called the Garden Route, and there's a ton of wineries, so it's almost in every town that you stop in. There's different wineries that you can stop in that just have absolutely beautiful views. We went to Ernie Els' winery. That was great. Actually, we got a chance to meet Ernie Els' father at Fancourt. He was actually there the day that we were there. So it's a really great golf trip. A lot of private clubs put together groups that go there, and this group that puts it together is just top notch. I mean, the guys were really fun to travel with. There were a lot of good suggestions. There's no shortage of fantastic food to eat. I mean, the biltong, which is basically beef jerky, there's more biltong of different animals that I've never heard of that tasted fantastic, and it was an outstanding trip. I was lucky enough to go with some a couple guys from the Golf Channel and some other people, and it was we were all enchanted. I mean, it's definitely worth the flight there, and there's so many different golf opportunities. And one thing I learned that I wasn't always aware of, and I sometimes feel like a failure if I had that feeling, if I can't get on the internet and put together a successful golf trip, then it's not worth doing, or that it's just not doable. But one thing that really got brought home for me was how much more if you go through some of those groups that set those things up. I mean, they typically get maybe 30% off the rack rate on some of these excursions. So when you use those guys, you're actually saving money, which I didn't fully realize until this trip. So. And that's when you're talking about someplace in South Africa, I don't know, it's that's a long way away to be on the internet trying to put together tee times for friends or relatives or whoever it is you want to go with. And I just can't, I can't say enough about these guys and what they put together. I mean, it was, you know, we were able to put together options for what we wanted to do. We, you know, they also do safaris. So we had a chance to go on a couple game drives and that was fantastic. And that was, you know, we played some golf for 4 or 5 days, and then we went to Kachaka and Apumba, which were two game reserves, and that was incredible. I mean, that was it was a nice welcome from Bad Golf Shots to go see you know, all the different animals and wildlife that's there. It was a lot of fun. It was fantastic.
So I just took my grandkids to the Toledo Zoo today. So I got a feeling Toledo Zoo wasn't anything like your game drive out through the bush in South Africa.
No, I mean, it counts. You're definitely a good person for doing that.
But not in your league, right?
Yeah, no, any league. That's, you know, you get points for doing that. That's good. I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, you saw animals and, you know, family obligation. That's good.
Hey, now, just a real quick note, and I know people who would travel to that part of the world, you know, you read and hear so much still about segregation, apartheid, and that kind of thing. Did you encounter any problems? Is everything politically cool and you were able to move about the country with no problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything is safe there. The areas that you find danger in, and of course that was, you know, those were some of the first questions that we all wanted to know. It was like, what about the xenophobic attitude going on here? You know, and where's the fighting? And that, you know, that violence there is pretty much restricted to the shanty towns. You know, they're the real, and those are pretty marked areas. So you know where not to go. I mean, it's it common sense prevails. I mean, about where to go. You know, just like it does anywhere. I mean, if you had somebody come here and go to New York City without asking some advice about where and where not to go, they might get in real trouble. And the same goes there. You know, one thing I thought was really interesting is, you know, again, of course, I was asking those questions, and I was asking about, well, I guess you guys are, you know, having problems with the Nigerians, or you have xenophobia issues, and I asked that a couple different times on a couple different occasions, and I was laughing. I mean, almost the stock response I got back, which was very funny, which was, what's going on in Baltimore up there? and so that was very funny, and to me just showed a good sense of humor and pride in their country, you know. So it was, I really enjoyed it, and you know, plus everybody speaks English, and you know, so it's you're able to get along fine, and you know, it's, I mean, the three languages, Afrikaans, Zulu, and you know, English are spoken there. Is
your Zulu, you know, pretty good now? Is it?
No, but I had a hard time. Of course, I'm the pesky guy. I was asking everybody, let me hear your Zulu, and nobody wants to do it because it sounds clicky and sort of funny. But it was real enjoyable. I mean, it was a great experience. It is a perfect, you know, buddy's trip, you know, high end, but you can do that and save money by going through and doing that. There's so many different places to stay. I mean, the same sort of way you might think about like a Napa Valley. I mean, this is Napa Valley with fantastic vegetation and you know, lots of little bed and breakfasts and you know, old estates that you can stay on and you know, you can get really creative about where to stay. I mean, you can stay in you could be staying on like a stone wine estate and have an all-star golf course nearby, and you know, and stay in some place that has a stately sort of stone fireplace and cigar bar. I mean, there's that kind of thing is available without doing all that research yourself. Which, and I'm not against doing research or coming up with the right answer yourself either, but I found it immensely helpful in getting to know the country, the golf courses, and the food choices. I mean, the food choices, you know, again, were were all stars. So it was I really appreciated it and made some good friends and actually I got down there, you know, a few days before the trip started, and I did the in Hansby, which is in a nearby Cape Town. I did the thing where you get in the cages with the great white sharks
You did that?
Yeah, I did. And
you are a little crazy, aren't you? You are just a little bit over the edge.
Yeah, well, I think I blamed sort of being stone-faced jet lag on the fact that I wasn't too scared in the cage, but it was very interesting, and there's a lot of stuff like that. I mean, Table Mountain is beautiful. Cape Town just has so much to offer. I mean, I think it's always listed as like one of the number one cities to go travel to. So it should be a destination for, you know, golf and, you know, as well as other interests. And, just, you know, the other thing that struck me is while it is a great trip to take golfers on, it's perfect for, you know, husband-wife type stuff too, because there's so many different activities. You can easily split up for the day and have different checklists and meet back up at some, you know, at really nice places.
Hey, let's switch gears. You were on the show last year. We talked about you going to China. And you liked it so much, you went back again this year and spent, what, I think 3 weeks over there in total. I know you had some other commitments, but you got to spend some time on Hainan Island again. And tell us a little bit about maybe what was different this year, what impressed you, and what we should what golf fans should be thinking about going over there for.
Well, I mean, first, I went back to Mission Hills and Hainan Island, and it was – I had such a good time there last year. It's – you know, you can go to Hong Kong, actually. I went to both – you know, they have 22 golf courses, and 12 of them are located in the Shenzhen area, which is, you know, right outside Hong Kong. You can drive there from Hong Kong, go over the border. Shenzhen is absolutely beautiful, too. I mean, you can't go wrong going to Shenzhen or Hainan. What was interesting to me this trip was, you know, I know, you know, if you've been following golf, you notice that they've closed down about 60 courses in China. So that's caused a lot of interest in the golf world. Hey, what's going on with this? Why are they closing golf courses? And you know, of course, I asked that question of every person that I talked to over there that was involved with golf, and I got about 40 different answers, which was very funny But the short of it is, you know, some of the golf courses obtained permits to open illegally. Like a lot of China, they're just, you know, they're growing so fast that a lot of the permits and legalities weren't followed when the golf courses were opened. And so, you know, the new government in China went through and shut them down, which is interesting. So it gave the appearance to me, like, so I was wondering, hey, is this, you know, why is this happening? Are they trying to shut golf down in China, you know, and which seems like a weird thing to do, right, in the middle of, you know, with the emergent middle-class Chinese dollar there to be spent, it seemed to me like it was, you know, sort of contradictory to be closing golf courses. But, you know, so I got the, you know, the environmental regulations, you know, got a lot of people talking about, you know, there's a lack of forests in China and they want to protect them, so they don't want the golf courses. And then there was a general feeling that golf is really supposed to be for the privileged and rich and powerful in China. You know, the nice thing is I really didn't get that at Mission Hills. I mean, of all the golf courses that closed down, Mission Hills had zero of their golf courses closed down because they've followed all the regulations. And they've also done a really good job of promoting ecotourism and family involvement in their resorts. So specifically, you know, Mission Hills it was a fantastic place to visit. And had so many more different options, even than it did just last year. You know, they're opening. I mean, they're going to be a huge name in China. So watching them sort of brand their name and open up different things, in Shenzhen, they're opening up a huge new thing for. I almost would call it like a King's Dominion or a Busch Gardens type of thing, that's, you know, and all that's associated and stems from their involvement in golf. So they've done a really good job of of taking care of their courses and you know, following all the regulations. And the Blackstone course on Hainan Island, that was the site of the 2007 exhibition match between Rory and Tiger. And that course is just amazing. I mean, some of the other courses, lava fields, you know, they're all built on this black volcanic rock. You know, they call Hainan you know, sort of the Hawaii of China, and it's easy to see why. And it's, when you get there, I mean, the courses are, you know, taken care of so well that the green and the black, you know, are just such a great backdrop for white balls flying around. You know, it's really just sort of mesmerizing. My wife doesn't play golf. I mean, she does, and we did play. She doesn't play a lot, but she just enjoyed riding around. I mean, it's that nice. And they have, and I mean, the Mission Hills holds the world record for the most mineral springs, you know, for the one of the largest spas in China. So I mean, there's just so much to do that it's you know, again, you know, I don't mean to be repetitive, but just like South Africa, it's a long way. But it's such a great place to take a bunch of people on a trip because there's so many different options of things to do. You know, it's just it's an amazing place. And so I got the feeling that while, you know, maybe in other places in China they're trying to reserve who can play golf, who can't, Mission, they're doing a good job. And a lot of golf courses are doing that here. I mean, you talk to people that are losing money on golf courses and they're looking for different ways to attract, you know, the family dollar and get the kids out there, you know, you know, so they're doing a great job of that there. One of the funniest things that I got there and I had a chance to play the P. Dai members course, which is in Shenzhen. And I got there and, they almost didn't let us play because they had it reserved for, the first, what I think is, I believe it was the first round of foot golf in China. I know that some listeners are probably just gritting their teeth, you know, hearing foot golf, and but that's a great example of, you know, I mean, something that started over here that may or may not be popular, you know, with some people, but it was a gas just to hear them talking about foot golf on a Pete Dye course there. That's a members only course, and they said it at first the members were, you know, very against it, didn't want to see it there, but that they loved it. And wow. You know, I was surprised to hear that, but it was, you know, it's interesting. I mean, everybody's looking for ways to, you know, for you know, and sometimes I actually believe that the thing that's going to preserve the golf for diehard golfers and continue to make it available for us is by, you know, offering all those things. I mean, for, you know, things that are going to keep a family amused that maybe some members don't play golf, you know, or have other interests, and it's the resorts and the golf courses and the places that cater to that I think are going to be successful in the future and are going to maintain the old line conservative golf that most of us like to play. I mean, that's because those are going to be the dollars that fuel the maintenance and the ability to take care of the all-star courses that are out there. And
keep the doors open.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to keep the doors open.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it costs a lot of money to keep and make a golf course great. And you know, you'd agree, I think, that we all want great places to play golf. And if it takes compromising a little bit and maybe offering, you know, things other than golf. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how many examples I can come up with, but foot golf or you know, they have night golf over there, which is sort of interesting and was fun to play. But you know, just offering up different things that can, you know, work together with the golf course that can provide money. I mean, I know, you know, like Top Golf, right, or you know, stuff like that. Or I mean, things you know, driving ranges that serve, you know, good food, healthy food, you know, that will attract people that, you know, want to just sit around there and want to spend their money there to do, you know, something other than play golf. I mean, if we don't continue to come up with those things to, you know, everyone talks about this void, you know, this generational void where, you know, you have people that grew up caddying at golf courses and then you have like this 20-year void to people that are playing now and coming up now. And, you know, if you don't fill that age gap, that, you know, that those people that are arriving at that age that maybe didn't play golf when they were growing up and weren't exposed to the game in the way a lot of traditionalists were, if you don't fill that with interest, then we're never going to get back to a point where, you know, golf interest is you know, rampant and people want to play. And so I guess at the end of the day, it's kind of weird for me to say this, but I do support some of those foot golf. I've never played foot golf, but you know, when people go hard line against stuff like that, I become a little bit concerned, because without the proper type of capital infusion into golf and golf related activities at resorts and great courses, you know, the money's just not going to be there to maintain.
Yeah. We have been talking with Wally Greaves, who writes a golf column for the Georgetowner, the Wander Golf, and he has traveled around the world looking at golf courses, studying them, and if you want to know more about where he's been and what he's doing, check out his column in the Georgetowner. And Wally, again, we want to thank you for coming on and talking to us and sharing some of the things that you've seen over the last several months.
No, I really enjoy it. I enjoy seeing you and talking to you. I look forward to the next time we can get together and play some golf. And I'll have a column coming out July 22nd in the Georgetowner about the African experience. So if some listeners would like to check it out, that'd be great. Carlos, it was nice talking to you since you weren't on last time.
Thank you, Wally. Yeah. Thank you for coming on to the show. And it was great listening to all that you have to say. I mean, I envy you and Matt Ginella. I would just like to be half of those flights to go there and do them.
Let's go. Let's book them right now. Let's book them on air.
Take care, Wally. We'll talk to you down the road, man.
All right. Both of you have a great evening, and I'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Wally. Take care.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Wally Greaves, our Globetrotter Travel Insider, discovering the best golf travel options for you. Max, look forward to having him the next time here. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we have the practice range here. We're going to be talking about Jordan Spieth, so don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, and each of us take our shots at it. That's why it's called the practice range. This week, we have to continue to talk about the man of the hour, of the weeks, of the days, of the years so far in golf, and that's Jordan Spieth, what he has achieved so far, what's next. And let me tell you, two Sundays ago, Jordan Spieth, he wrapped his arms around another major championship trophy, but he had a tougher time wrapping his head around what it means. He's just 21 years old from Texas and became just the sixth player ever to win the first two majors in the same season and the first to do it since Tiger Woods in 2002. And, you know, while Woods had another weekend off, Spieth snagged the spotlight again. He's already halfway to completing the Grand Slam, something only Bobby Jones has done, but he achieved it in that pre-Masters era. So Woods won all four majors consecutively, but did so over 2 years. No player in the modern era has ever won all four in the same year. Spieth is also just the second player since 1940 to have won four times on the PGA Tour before the age of 22. You know who was the other one? Tiger Woods. Air Jordan indeed. But hey, let's not compare Jordan Spieth to Tiger Woods just yet. After all, one of them had the weekend off for the second time in the last three majors, while the other one completed a second straight major championship. Look, when it comes to comparing Spieth to Woods, there's no comparison. So Woods has 14 majors, Spieth has two. And the story would end there, except that when it comes to examining Woods, at least in his prime time, and Spieth, that there's actually a little of one in the other. They both won the Masters at age 21. Spieth was just 6 months older. One was, and the other one is, a fantastic mid-range putter. You know, making 10 to 20 footers is what wins majors. One had, and the other one has, an uncanny ability to produce dramatic shots on the way to winning. Both are insanely competitive and hate to lose at anything more than they like to win at anything. They both routinely beat older players when they were younger. He also, you know, Spieth goes on those runs that Tiger used to so often when he was floating around contention, ripping off three birdies in a full hole stretch. That week at Chambers Bay, Spieth often looked like the old Woods, while Woods just look, you know, well, old. I mean, the more I look at Spieth and Rory McIlroy and their probable rivalry, and the more I think of Rory like Phil Mickelson and Spieth like Tiger. You know, in his first 67 events in his career, Spieth won three times. This year, he has played 16 times, three firsts, three wins, three second places, one third, three times he has finished fourth through 10th, only twice he has missed a cut. He's halfway to the Grand Slam, but even though science and hocus pocus are stacked against him doing what the modern legends of the game have never achieved, the fact that he shined while winning Chambers Bay, a true link-style golf course, you can make the case about him liking his chances of chewing it. You know, since St. Andrews should be a walk in the park compared to Chambers Bay, and Whistling Straits is also kind of a link-style course where he can shine and close out the deal. Fred, to me, the player of the year is his to lose, is immortality that is his to achieve.
Carlos, that was really well said. I really enjoy listening to that. You touched all the bases with that. I'm going to take just a little bit of different tack here. You know, what he's done so far is just, you know, beyond believability. And he's going to play in the John Deere. Prior to going over to St. Andrews to play in the Open Championship, he's going to, you know, because they gave him a sponsor's exemption, let him play, and, you know, he's going to go back there. Then he's going to play in the Open in St. Andrews. He's going to play in he'll play in the WGC Bridgestone, the PGA Championship, and he's still got the four events of the FedEx Cup, and he might stick another one or two events in there, like maybe the Wyndham or something else in there. So, I mean, he's got a lot of golf yet to play, and he's already earned nearly $8 million in prize money with, like you say, his three wins, which includes a green jacket and the U.S. Open trophy in there. So, and he's got a shot of winning three consecutive major championships. He's the only guy in town that's got that opportunity this year. He's leading the FedEx Cup by over 1,000 points. 1,000 points. He is way ahead. He's leading the money list by $3.5 million over second place Dustin Johnson, who's won $4.3 million for the year. He leads in top 10 finishes with 10 in his 17 starts. He leads in the scoring average, which is the Varden Cup, with a 68.92. He's also third in strokes gained tee to green. He's second in strokes gained total and fifth in scrambling. Those kind of numbers add up to a lot of money in your pocket. He still has the Open Championship, the WGC Bridgestone, and the FedEx Cup to go. He could win over $20 million in prize money, plus the $10 million FedEx Cup is his to lose, I would say, at this point. With his last win at the U.S. Open, he drew a little closer to Rory for number one and increased his lead in the PGA Tour money list as well as the FedEx Cup points list. But, Carlos, I said it last week, and the thing that I like most is that spectacular finish at the U.S. Open. For a 21-year-old to collect himself after making that atrocious double bogey at the 71st hole, after Brandon Grace had basically just handed him the trophy, you know, it was his to lose, and he almost threw it away. But he wiped that out of his mind. He just wiped the blackboard clean, started with a new slate on the 18th tee. He immediately tuned it out, focused on making birdie or eagle in that last hole of the tournament, and to me that describes his greatness right there. That hole just sums it all up. He's always fighting. He's always grinding. It's always the next shot. And, Carlos, that's what makes great golfers, and this guy is going to be a really great one. He's already got a hell of a start.
I tell you, I can't wait to see the Open Championship, not only because of what it is and what it means to golf, but what it will mean for Jordan Spieth to win that and what it will mean to golf, the world of golf, to see him and what it means for the world and the youngsters. You know, he's just the next superstar. And while Tiger Woods may be fading, and who knows if he will ever come back at least to be competitive, you know, this is the guy that everybody's watching, and watching a possible rivalry with Rory McIlroy. So, you know, it's incredible that the world number one, it's been like outshine, and it's been like an afterthought. Maybe that's a stretch, but, you know, everybody's just watching Jordan Spieth. And just to say that not so many people are talking anymore about Rory McIlroy, and it's just Jordan Spieth, speaks volumes about him.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be fun if they were in the last group going down, you know, at the Road Hole on the 18th on Sunday at the Open Championship?
That would be record-breaking views there on TV. Definitely something everyone should be watching, and I'm sure they will. Hey, any other final words on this topic before we move on to our final putts?
No, I think that covered it for me, Carlos.
Well, that wraps up the practice range. We still have some final putts for you, so Fred, go ahead with yours. What do you have for us?
I'll do mine real quick, Carlos, because I know you got a couple you want to talk about. 17-year-old Brooke Henderson is foregoing a chance to play on the Canadian team for the Pan American Games and will Monday qualify for the Marathon Classic here in Toledo on July 13th. She won the Sumatra Tour and did earn full status on that tour, but she's trying to stay inside the top 20 on the LPGA Tour so she doesn't have to go to Q School and get her card for next year. Peter Casas says, get rid of the Open Championship, Rota. Why would you play anyplace else but St. Andrews? It always brings out the best golfers. They have to learn to hit all the different shots, deal with the wind, deal with the change in course conditions. Let's just play it all the time at St. Andrews. And the RNA announced that they raised the purse up to $10 million to be in line with the Masters, the PGA, the U.S. Open, and the Players. Then I'm not going to talk anymore about Robert Trent Jones, Gary Player. That's old news. Trump reopened his
they
golf
are old.
Course.
It's old news. They're old. It's
yeah, well, yeah. He took the Robert Trent Jones took the high road. I must admit, he did that, and so that was good. Trump reopened his Loudoun Meadows golf course in outside of Washington D.C. after a $25 million renovation. Donald had a pretty busy week. He announced his presidential aspirations. He got fired by NBC for his political comments and then officially opened his golf club. So he's had a very busy week. And, Carlos, I know you got a couple things in there yet.
Well, I got a couple. One of them involves professional Japanese golfer Shigeki Maruyama, who has bid goodbye to his Los Angeles estate he shared with his wife, Mizuho. You know, he's known in the sport as the Smiling Assassin, and he sold his Bel Air property for $14.75 million, as per Los Angeles Time. The golfer's listing agent was Kurt Rappaport, and the buyer's agents were Christina Adams and Betsy Weisberger. You know, the compound was originally offered on the market for $19.8 million, but he had bought it in 2004 for 7.6, so, you know, almost double the value for him. Great, and, you know, his right now ranked 1,603 in the world, so those 7.6 million recently definitely help him out. And the region
he only made 13 million in his career on the PGA Tour, and he made $8 million selling a house. That's not bad.
So not bad. That's the best deal, the best play that he has ever made. And, you know, Regions Financial Corporation and the PGA Tour's Champions Tours announced that the 2016 Regions Tradition, which is a major championship on the Champions Tour, will take place May 18 to the 22 and will be the first year that the tournament will be played at Greystone Golf and Country Club. Shoal Creek Club has hosted the championship for the last 5 years. you know, the golf Greystone Golf and Country Club will be the sixth venue to host the tradition, who previously held the Champions Tour's Bruno's Memorial Classic from 1992 to 2005. Well, golf fans, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the past hour. Special thanks to our VIG, Wally Greaves. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and also through tune in or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is at Back Nine Report. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.